Welcome back to Split Second. And here we are after another exciting week of racing at the Japanese Grand Prix in Suzuka. Well, as usual, Max is assuming his status quo. But besides that, we had a lot of action in the rest of the field, didn't we? Well, Jayant, where do you want to get started?
So as expected, we had a straight red flag in the second corner as everyone were planning out on their strategies. There are so many strategies which played along, some for good, some for not. Worked out for Ferrari. Mercedes almost got it, but they waited until the last moment to pull it off. And pretty good racing, what we saw. So the clean record of not getting a red flag right away is now gone for Suzuka. So Saga, you wanna start talking about the whole first corner crash?
Yeah, let's talk about the red flag incident. Albon got squeezed out from Ricardo. Albon was going down the inside and Ricardo didn't have leave him any space. So basically, you know, they went ahead and crashed. So what do you think about Ricardo's action over there? Should he have left some more space for him?
It's a racing incident. That's what I would say. First lap racing incident. Mm-hmm. We've seen multiple cases where people try to get the racing line so they can get a better exit out of the next corner. When they're showing the multiple replays also, Ricardo was worried he's going to crash into Stroll, who's coming from behind on the left.
Correct, okay.
So he thought, okay, I think I'm going to just take a racing line and get it. And he never saw Albon on the right.
It's basically in his blind spot. I believe that's what he didn't do it on purpose for sure.
Yeah.
But he could have been a little more careful because, you know, you're just starting up the race in the first corner. You're going to have a lot of cars beside you. He's got to make sure that there's no one in his blind spot. I mean, he could have given him some space. And that was, I believe, okay, what was the conclusion? Was it, did he get a penalty for that?
No, he didn't. They took that instance to look at it afterwards, but I think they just left
it off as a racing incident.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but I think he should have been a little more cautious about before, you know, turning into.
Maybe that was also playing in his mind when he was actually looking at on his left mirror back in Stroll. He thought, okay, I might crash to low Stroll.
I think the pressure, right? The pressure of performing, sometimes it gets to you.
Yeah, Albon's mistake have had a problem with Sargent. Error last week. Now Ricardo's mistake have ended Albon's and also Williams' hopes to have two good cars for the Chinese Grand Prix. I was looking at James Wald's interview afterwards. What is his take on whether he can have two cars for the next Grand Prix? So they are very worried about their current status, whether they can have two cars competing, but there are very, very, very minimal chances right now. They had upgrades to Albon's car, I mean, technically Sargeant's chassis, but, you know, what Albon drive, it has upgrades. But the impact what it went through after that crash where they had one of the tire barrier went underneath the car, which damaged many of their upgrade components. Even for them to bring up Albon's crash car from Australia, they already told that they can only get their second chassis done by Miami GP, which is like a good 4 weeks of time now. After they literally have like 1 week time to fix the crashed car from Albon.
Two weeks,
but they, you know, think about the freight. They have to transport the cars. And
I mean, there should be some level of contingency plan for every team, right? I mean, you're going to, there's always a risk of crash in any race. So, I mean, if you do not have anything spare left for your car, how do you expect to compete with the top teams out there? Not top teams, but at least the rest of the field out there.
But James, after he took over the principal spot in Williams, he found out they're tracking car paths and the car progress in an Excel file. So do you expect...
God, they're primitive.
Exactly. Yeah. Way behind. Like, I work in a tier one company. Mm-hmm. We don't use Excel for tracking our spare parts.
I wouldn't suspect we would do.
And one of the most decorative Formula One team, Williams, and you still are way, way behind the technology. So James wants the team to advance and use more technology and tools what they're supposed to do and track it and not to end up in this situation. They have like, what, 3 crashes in 2 races?
Yeah.
And almost they had the 4th crash. Sargeant just managed to escape. I was worried that he's going to crash that. And technically, we would have only 9 teams contesting in China again.
But honestly speaking, this is no excuse. You're in Formula One racing. I mean, you cannot have an excuse saying that I do not have enough parts for my next race and so I can't put in a car on the field. I get it. It's a case of evolution. Within the team, there is new management and all that. But again, it's Formula One racing. Yeah, you got to be prepared well in advance. The advantage of which I believe teams like Alpine would go ahead and take it, right? So we were struggling with the design of the car, but now they've improved their performance from the last three races.
Exactly. And even Ocon, I think in Q1, he was like P10.
Yeah.
With that car, yeah. At least they're trying to do something.
Yeah, they're progressing ahead. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And also with these two crashes though, right, where every team is working under a budget cap, this is going to create big issue for Williams at the end of the season. Now they can't bring upgrades because it's going to cost them and they can't be over the budget. All these crashes, how much ever the amount they're spending on redeveloping a crashed car, it's going to affect them in using that same money, which they plan to use in upgrades in the later the season. These three crashes will actually potentially will cause a huge, huge debt for Williams. It's going to limit their progress in overall season.
Well, let's see how that pans out, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a interesting challenge to James coming from Mercedes in a bigger team. I would see that he would come out with pretty good solutions and try to get that points for Williams.
To all our audience, Williams is one of the most successful Formula One teams out there. So historically, it's hosted many great names were associated with Williams.
Yep, and coming out of that first red flag, that's very common in Suzuka. Mm-hmm. Usually you get it today, is that how strategies played pretty well for few teams, not for the others. Coming to the best strategy of the week, Charles Leclerc with his call to go to plan C, mm-hmm. which is their one-stop strategy.
The Ferrari and their codes, the plan A, B, and C. Yeah. But somehow all their plans are kind of working out for this season, it seems. So
isn't it strange that Ferrari had four straight weekends without a strategy mistake compared to what we have seen
very
last
impressive.
Year?
Very, very impressive. Fred is definitely got his team acting together. So I think it's a good job.
I am sure it's going to be Fred Ferrari days coming soon. So it's going to be very interesting on how the whole risking up everything with Sainz and going to Hamilton, how it's going to pan out next year.
I still question that decision from him. But, well, let's keep the 25 aside. 24, they're doing a good job.
So, yeah. And about the strategy, how well Leclerc have actually driven the whole first stint. I was actually worried that he's going to slowly... the way how the undercut didn't work with others, mm-hmm. he leaving it long would actually help him and also will be struggling at the end. But the way how he nurtured his tires.
Brilliant.
A
show of talent, skill, experience. Amazing.
And also the way how team called, they immediately told him, do not fight Verstappen or mm-hmm. Perez, because he don't want to risk his tires to lose those positions. So he immediately let them go. And right when he needs that pit stop to go to Hearts, mm-hmm. and also the team doing good job in their pit stop. I like how Ferrari has been pretty good last four weekends too in pit stops. They did a great job in getting Leclerc where they wanted.
Yeah, just to add on to that, to our audience. So Leclerc completed almost 22 laps in the medium tire.
Exactly.
So Suzuka is a high degradation track. And you expect a lot of the tire life to kind of go off at around lap 15 or lap 16. But he extended that stint to almost 22 laps. Yeah. So that itself is an extraordinary feat. And that's how he kind of did not... Unfortunately, he did not end up getting a podium spot, but he claimed, three spots? He gained three spots from where he started. So,
Even from the start of the race, he was not even aiming for podium. He smelled a podium, but he realized that he's on a longer stint with these tires. And after he took that first pit stop, he's going to again use those tires till the end. So he's not fighting a battle which he would never win. So it's kind of an intelligent racing what Leclerc and the whole team did there. Mm-hmm. This is the fourth race of the season. We had 4 1-2s. I know Red Bull is already way ahead than others, which we already know about it. But leaving Red Bull aside, this whole race panned out to be a very, very interesting race with strategies, overtakes, multiple corner fights, even the back of the grid. Stroll, Yuki doing a great, great job in his home race. It was a perfect weekend, taking out Red Bulls out of the picture.
I mean, what is a better word for perfection for Red Bull? But let's just get into that later. Let's talk about the team that Ferrari was fighting, McLaren. What do you think about their strategy? Well, Norris tried to do an undercut, which we thought in the beginning it kind of worked out, but it did not in the end.
No.
So What do you think went wrong over there? Do you think McLaren has the pace to beat Ferrari, or they're closing the gap to Ferrari?
That's the main thing where they were lacking, straight line pace.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Mm-hmm.
They were not able to catch up. They had better tires, but they were not able to catch up. We've seen problems with Mercedes engines all this year, but we were thinking the whole aero package of McLaren was working better than Mercedes, which we already seen with the points. But yesterday race, even Piastri was complaining. He was doing his max out there. He was pushing the car, but still he was not able to do those overtakes what he was thinking to do.
But that is very surprising how the sport has evolved over the last decade, right? Mercedes being the most dominant engine supplier, the most dominant power unit supplier.
And
now they've just fallen from the grace. Now, since 2022, when the ground effect rule has taken place, we all thought it was the aerodynamics of the Red Bull that is, you know, put them on top. But, you know, it's right now, it's coming down to the power unit of Mercedes itself. Well, Mercedes had quite a silent weekend. What do you think about them?
Russell did a good job initially overtaking from the second pit stop. He was fighting with Piastri and trying to get hold to Alonso.
Mm-hmm.
But it was close again. He did that one mistake in the last chicane.
Mm-hmm.
He almost collided. He actually pushed Piastri out of the track.
Yeah,
Stewart did note that incident, but luckily he didn't get it
off as a racing incident.
Incident. I think they gave him. I think we're thinking they would have given him a black and white flag. That's max they would have done for that.
So talking about inter teammate battle between Mercedes, right? Interesting that Hamilton was, you know, never had the pace for this race. I mean, there was a point in time where he came and said, let Russell pass by. I didn't understand what was all that about.
Hamilton was actually complaining. He has an issue with his car where he was not able to turn properly. So that was one reason why Hamilton wants Russell to pass by.
Okay. Well, that's a good... It seems like he's being a good team player. But in my opinion, he did not have the pace, and he did not want to be seen as someone who's being passed by his teammate. And he kind of took that initiative and let Russell pass by without putting up a fight. I mean, if you're a racing driver and if you're a 7-time world champion, I would expect some racing from him. I would not expect you to have the mentality of just sitting back and not doing anything about it, irrespective of the issue. I mean, if I have to take an example, Charles, I think a couple of races back when we had the brake issue, he just didn't let Sainz pass by. He did put up a fight, but of course Sainz got the better of him in the end. But that's what racing is all about. But either ways, Hamilton chooses the way he wants to present himself.
You even think about this too. He knows that this is his last season with Mercedes. It might be Alonso or it might be Sebastian Vettel. That's one thing we're hearing this weekend too. Mm-hmm. One of the most interesting topics. Will Sebastian Vettel be back in Formula 1? He was telling that he wants to only return if he has a better package. But right now, at the moment, Mercedes is not strong. They're the P4 in constructors and they're just 1 point ahead than Aston Martin. So I was actually expecting them to be at least fighting, like how we spoke initially, that we want to see at least a 3-way fight for P2. Clearly, the way how they're going right now with their progress, I can clearly see we can eliminate. I would say they need to do a lot of work right now to get back to that contention to go to P2.
Yeah, I see them getting close to McLaren. I think they will be fighting for P3 with McLaren because end of the day, Mercedes were back from the rest of the three ahead of them.
Interesting though, Saga. Yeah, it'll be a great progress to see if Mercedes come back, how they do better in the second half of the season, and see great battles on the tracks. Coming to Aston Martin, you know, you want to talk about the difference what you've seen between Alonso and Stroll?
It's day and night, right? I mean, the performance between the two drivers. Alonso is at the age of 42. He's been performing exceptionally. He's just punching way above his weight. Brilliant drive from yesterday, holding up Piastri and the faster McLaren as well as the couple of Mercedes. I mean, he's just doing a phenomenal job, and I would be very happy to see him in a more competitive team than Aston Martin. Next year, there are talks that he's been looked over for a Red Bull seat. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen next, but Alonso, you know, he's putting some brilliant performance out there. But on contrast, Stroll is you know, he's getting better. I won't say he's really underperforming, but you know, from my perspective, I never gave him a lot of credit as a driver, because I feel there is a lot of good talent out there, you know, who should be in his spot. But obviously, because of some of the support that he's getting, because of his background and all of that, you know, he's in Formula One. You know, he's in Formula One. He has a Formula One seat.
Yeah, and also an interesting topic here. Stroll never qualified beyond Q1 in Japanese Grand Prix, and he still holds that record. He was P16 when he was qualifying. So, you know, there are a few tracks where the drivers will not be a stronger track, but, you know, the car, the package, what he has, I expect him at least to be in Q2 or like in Q3.
Well, it's a classic case of Alonso being the mentor and Stroll being the apprentice. And over the years, I feel been giving out decent performances, I guess, in the more recent years than what he was in the past. But I would still say that's not good enough for him to justify his spot, apart from, you know, his dad owning the team, you know. So, yeah, I don't have much to say about Lawrence Stroll as a driver. Like, you know, he's doing okay. That's the best I can tell about him.
Yeah, that's true, too. We should also appreciate how Yuki, after 12 years, there's another Japanese driver who's able to score points in Japan, though. So, yeah, with his car, with the strategy at the end, he was like literally overtaking everyone and he was able to secure P10. Mm-hmm. Yuki as an overall driver, I should say, where he was before, very immature. He was very aggressive for no reason. Now he became more mature driver. He's thinking about how he can get those points to the team.
It's almost the case of every young driver who comes into Formula One, right? They always show a level of immaturity when they step in. Even that was similar to the case of Max Verstappen too. And today he's a three-time world champion. So, of course, it all comes from experiences, and experiences teach you a lot.
Yeah, Red Bull, they actually thought that Ferrari would be stronger in race pace. But again, Sainz ruled it out right before the race that they were running on low fuel in their longer stints in free practices. The way how they actually came up with solutions and car setups to do a perfect race, they had qualified 1-2, finished 1-2. They had three pit stops with a 2.1 and there is one pit stop with 2.0. What you can expect, this team is actually showing how to be dominant in every aspect in a race weekend. It's good to see how the team is doing. It's good to see how the drivers are doing. But again, as an overall team, though, in every aspect where they need to tick boxes, they're ticking boxes at the right time.
They're just excelling in every context possible. Like, you know, the driver, Verstappen, I don't even have to tell. He's just immaculate. His driving skills are just immaculate. I mean, I don't, you know, there is no chink in the armor where I could point out where, you know, Verstappen can improve, you know, here and there. Like, you know, he himself says that every time he takes up a race and when he wins a race, there's always places where he can improve. But I don't see others seeing that the areas where he needs to improve. He's just being a perfect racing driver. And that's just not the team. It's just not the driver. Even the team as a whole. In spite of all that distractions of Horner's case and all that, but on track, they're just being... I don't think it has taken away any level of performance from the team. So it's just brilliant to see how they're functioning together on track, right? Despite of their off-track issues. The other thing is, Perez is doing a brilliant job and he's doing exactly what Red Bull expects of him, right? Now, when you compare the raw pace between Perez and Verstappen, possibly Perez does not have the pace like Verstappen, but he kind of realizes that and he knows that the second spot is for his taking and he's playing that to his strength and he's, you know, maximizing whatever he can get out of the car. So, like you can see, yesterday, no fancy wheel-to-wheel racing or anything. Just get them in the DRS zone and open up your DRS wing and then pass everyone out.
As a team player, and he now recognizes that if he gets a chance, if there is an opening, then he's going to go for the P1 or else he's going to sit back, enjoy his P2 spot.
Exactly.
Be a team player. So, had an eventual Japanese Grand Prix. And 2 weeks in time, we will go back to Chinese Grand Prix. It's been, 4 years in China. Interesting track. interesting developments. So Sagar, who are your top three?
You know who are my top two. Okay. So I don't have to specify.
So
top two is anybody's guess.
So you still expect a P1, P2 finish by Red Bull again?
Yes, I do. Okay. Very strongly.
So, okay. Now who do you pick as P3?
I think Sainz is going to come P3 again. He's been putting out some brilliant performances out there. And I think it's time for Leclerc to take notice of that. He shouldn't take it granted that he has a racing seat for next year. You know, if his performances are not very as pleasing as, you know, how Sainz is driving right now, you know, the higher management is going to look at it and probably the preference is going to be given to Lewis Hamilton. So I think Charles should start competing with Sainz very seriously with the same level of enthusiasm as how Sainz is driving. And we all know Charles has the pace, but he has to at least be on level terms, or at least he should be fighting with the Sainz in every race. He shouldn't be just sitting back and, you know, complaining about the car and, you know, what the other issues that he's been having.
Makes sense, though. So thank you, everyone, for listening. It's been a pleasure to share our views on how a race weekend goes. We'll catch you back in 2 weeks. Have a great weekend. Thank you.